John 12 and verse 34. Jesus has just declared that the hour has now come when he will be glorified. And in his glorification, he will glorify God his Father. And that glorification will come by his dying on the cross. He's going to be lifted up, crucified. And in his shame and humiliation and sufferings, the glory of God in Christ will be seen. And God will accomplish three great ends by that death of Christ. Overall, the glory of God in Christ. But three great ends. Verse 30 to 33. Judgment on this world. Satan driven out. And Christ, through his death, drawing all men to himself. Judgment, condemnation, the decision time, the watershed of the ages. Satan's works brought to an end. Not that Satan's influence is stopped, he's still active in this age. But the triumph now over Satan will be accomplished. And of course, the drawing, effectual drawing power of Christ in his death to bring sinners to everlasting salvation. All this Christ has declared, and now we have the crowd's reaction. The crowd spoke up. Will they be amazed at this? Will they be moved by this? Will they be anxious to know that they have their part in it? Jew and Gentile will be drawn to Christ. Jew and Gentile will be saved. The Messiah now is going to die for sinners. What will they ask? How can they be right with God? What would it mean for them? Should they not now trust in Christ? And all these kind of reactions surely must come now. Worship, admiration, adoration, trust. No. No. We have heard from the law that the Christ, the Messiah, will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, I've tried to put in the tone there as I feel it is implied here. Just reading the words as they stand, of course, these questions could be genuine. They could be curious. They really want to trust this Messiah. They really want to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They want their interest to be felt and known and seen and had in his death, blood, and righteousness. Oh, yes, all that could be true. And they just want these questions dealt with so that they can be clear in their minds and their hearts can be full of Christ. Oh, yes, all that could be true, but I don't believe it for a moment. The context here is one of hatred against Christ, rebellion against Christ. And we know what the Jews were expecting of the Messiah at this time. John 6 has said it. We know what they were expecting. A mighty political military king. One who would overthrow the Roman Empire. Set up the Jewish kingdom again. As under David and Solomon. The temple in its all its glory and all the rest of it. The kingdom restored. Might. Political power. Wealth. This is the Messiah they expect. And here is this man, talking about being lifted up. And they knew, John explained what it means, verse 33. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. That's for our understanding. But of course the Jews knew. What do you mean lifted up? Crucified. They know what lifted up means. They know what the Roman death is. How can the Messiah be crucified under the Roman system, the Roman system of execution? We know from the law. We have heard from the law. They mean by that the Old Testament, of course, that the Messiah will remain forever. Daniel 7, 13 to 14, for example, would teach that to them. This is what they're expecting. And you're talking about his death? You're talking about his crucifixion? Here is a clear example of 1 Corinthians 2:14 and Romans 8, 5 to 8. The natural man, what does he think of all these spiritual things connected with Christ particularly? Foolishness. He cannot understand them. Romans 8, he hates them. Romans 1, verse 18, on he suppresses them. This is the natural man. Oh, he has his questions, but they're smoke screens. They're diversions, they're cavilling. You see, unbelievers ask questions, sometimes out of curiosity and real interest, and they want to know, but very rarely. Often they ask to make believers into a jack-in-the-box, to bounce about and answer questions for their novelty and for their amusement. Or they are used as a smokescreen to divert attention from Christ's words. But the truth of the matter is, the natural man in Christ, he sees nothing that he should desire. When we were first married, in the early 60s, we had a text on our wall. What think ye of Christ? And underneath was, he is altogether lovely. What think ye of Christ? He is altogether lovely. But of course, there is another answer that most men give. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. What is your reaction? Are you listening to me now? What do you think of Christ? He is altogether lovely. He is my salvation. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty, are my glorious dress. He is altogether precious to me. Unto you who believe, he is precious. Or is all this gospel foolishness, incomprehensible to you? What I'm saying about Christ being lifted up and his blood and righteousness, his blood washing away your sins and his righteousness clothing you faultless before the Father, all that is nonsense and foolishness, completely beyond your understanding. I have to say to you, all you that pass by, to Jesus draw nigh. To you is it nothing, nothing, nothing that Jesus should die? For these Jews here, what is this lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? This is not what we're expecting. This is not what we want. Have they never read Isaiah 53? Did they not appreciate what the sacrifices were saying? Did they not hear John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that bears away the sin of the world? And it's the feast of Passover. The Lamb's going to be sacrificed to deliver. In the original, as the Lamb was sacrificed, the blood was put upon the doorposts and lintels. What for? To deliver the people from Egypt and shelter them from the avenging angel. Here is Christ shedding his blood at that very moment, to do the very same, in reality, not in picture form, for all who will shelter beneath that blood. And what can they say? We have heard, who is this man? What is it about? And they dismiss him. It is really, as Christ said, giving pearls to pigs. They just do not appreciate. They do not want. My friend listening to me, is it nothing to you? Do you see nothing in the Lord Jesus? What do you think of his blood and righteousness? His crucifixion? Is it your all in all? Your everlasting salvation? Or does it mean nothing to you? The crowd spoke up and they showed from their words what there was in their heart. The glory of God. The judgment on the world. Satan's works abolished and overcome, and the drawing effect, the saving effect for many sinners, all in the death of Christ, the glory of God in Christ, and to them it means nothing. Oh, brother and sister, this is the reaction we're going to get. We're dealing with men who think all this is foolishness and worse. They suppress it, and they hate it. They do not want it, and therefore they suppress it. But let us go on lifting up Christ. It is His glory. In His death, may we preach Christ and Him crucified, whether men will or will not receive Him. Don't forget, it is the watershed of the ages. It is the watershed of every man's life. If they will not believe, they will perish. But trusting, relying upon Christ, is everlasting salvation. So, brother and sister, let us go on lifting up this Christ in all His glory on the cross. And, O unbeliever, look again at His cross. See Jesus hanging there. And never, never turn away. From your heart cry out that this Lord Jesus is yours. And cast yourself upon Him. And you will see that in the cross of Christ is everlasting glory. And you will sing too, in the cross of Christ I glory. And you will say with the apostle, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. What think you of Christ? Will you trust Him now? I urge you, I plead with you. Yield to Him now. Receive Jesus Christ, crucified, risen again, in all His glory. Shelter under His blood, and rely upon His righteousness, and all will be well, forever and ever.